Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome in, friends, to the final Hell Week episode of In This League. Five straight episodes over five straight days. Maybe 7+ hours of content, all dedicated to ranks. We knock all them bad boys out. We're in February, a little bit later. And today, the culmination.
Culmination.
I want to make sure we didn't step over each other. There's no chance I can say culmination without Bachman doing that. So
culmination.
Culmination is the overall ranks episode, which is a controversial thought in general. Guess what? We got a little surprise. We're gonna attempt a surprise here in just a second. Where we're gonna ask a question. Because the big question on overalls is the usefulness and where is it used and why is it used? I've said this a million times over. I was actually an overall guy in my very, very early onset of fantasy years. There weren't a ton of people doing fantasy baseball podcasts. I think I've said this before. Tristan Cofcroft was my guy. That was my guy that I followed, and I would follow overall lists. And I actually valued overall lists over positional lists for a long time. And that, there were a lot of that also had to do with like value drafting. But as you go and you learn, where's the usefulness of an overall list? And that's what we all do. We look on Fantasy Pros and everybody lists. Here's my top 300. We do it for prospects. Overall lists, they rule the day, but the usefulness of it becomes the big question. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? That's us. InThisLeague.com. The Patreon where you can get our overall list. Maybe it's a piece of crap, but you can get it. You can get our positional prospects, dynasty, get in the group me rooms, hang with us, have so much fun, support your boys. You are directly supporting us when you do it. And we love you for it. InThisLeague.com. Okay. So it's holding Bogman back there. Overall lists. You did the list. You have always hated them to a point that I don't really know if you've ever used them. Have you ever used an overall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, I will say that I love my initial look of, you know, seeing an overall list to see where guys are ranked when I start. And I do think that there is a very good usefulness in you yourself, the person listening, making like a top 100 or even down to a top 150. What I don't like is taking them for gospel or saying that, well, this guy is 45. He has to go in the top three rounds. He doesn't. He can move down. And in terms of using them, I mean, let me just ask you this, Welsh. When you're looking at the overall list at the start of a draft, how long until you start moving positions during a live draft? What round?
Do I start paying attention to positions?
Start paying when you switch more to positions in the overall list while you're drafting.
I mean, I don't really use overalls too much anymore, but to your point, I do use position. I will pay attention to positional. Mm-hmm. When I'm in a draft, a mock or whatever, I might like use the overall just to kind of scan the player pool to see what's going on. That's what's helpful. But to your point, like I go almost exclusively position, probably if we're being real about it, like 7th or 8th round, I start peaking. I probably become absolutely exclusive by the 9th or 10th round. I care maybe a little bit less than others about positional stuff in early rounds, even if it means me taking 2 shortstops or 2 first basemen. I want to accumulate stats. We still start them, blah, blah, blah. When I start paying attention to those positions, probably when I've, you know, probably like 3 or 4 hitters in, I'm like, oh my God, why haven't I taken any outfielders? And then you start having that hyper focus. So yeah, I think it's fair to say like 6th, 7th round is where I really start focusing. But that's also to say maybe on the 4th or 5th, I'm like, okay, I got to get into an SP market. So the value of it can be kind of a question. And I have something to go to it, but I don't want to monopolize because you asked a question. I don't know if there was a follow-up to it.
Well, my point is the reason that I don't like the overalls, list is because I do think that some people will follow them as they'll pick their guy and they'll go, this is what has to happen. But there's a whole market involved here, and the market changes based on what marketplace you're at, right? Yahoo, Fantrax, CBS, ESPN, whatever backbone you're using, the market changes because some of these guys are off screen. So I think for an overall sense, ranks analysis is more important for that than an overall list or even an ECR list. But I will absolutely admit, I look at lists to start the year always. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is see ADP on NFBC to start the year.
Like, yeah, no,
as soon as we get a month full of information like that November 1st, after people have already been drafting for a month on there, love to look at it to see the range of where these guys are being taken by the big money people who are crazy enough to draft a league for 2024 in October of 2023.
A better way to look at it might be like it's a good pre-drafting tool to understand the market. The application kind of falls apart in drafts. And there's a part of me that's also thinking about something I might do and maybe we'll implement into next year. I don't know why I'm just like really focusing on it. But you know, something that Nick does, pitcher list. Nick, I think for quite some time in his pitcher rankings, if I'm remembering this correctly, has this tier-based system of like, you know, this guy, and then they'll put a couple of the guys in and da-da-da. That's how he's done these pitching articles. I actually think that might be a better way to approach overall list is because what do we all do? We all tier positions. But what about tiering an overall in saying that these guys are valued in the similar range? And if you want to pick apart positions and stuff like that, that might be how I approach overall lists in the future, because I'm getting kind of dead with overall lists that maybe it might even be a tiny bit more work if we're being honest, but maybe I will start tiering out an overall list to say these are groups of players that for different varying degrees I think are worth this, and then these guys are worth this. Or
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. Even if you looked at overalls and just said these are first round talents and these are second round talents, and having more of a tier system than a basis overall list, but overall might be just better suited, as Bogman said, for pre-draft understanding than it is for actual draft application. This came to my mind. Want to do an experiment? I'm asking you, not rhetorical.
Yeah, okay. Of course. I always want to do an experiment.
We're going to call one of our industry friends on the telephone. So we're not going to have good audio with it. This is like,
for those of you that aren't familiar, a telephone is something people used to use to contact before texting was around. Yeah,
but this is actually an iPhone like 13 or something. So it is everything everyone's familiar. It would actually be great if I had like a, and I had like a full on phone like that. That would be very fun. Let's ask someone else in the industry. Preemptive phone call. Frank Stampfl. That's what we're going to call. We're going to call CBS's Frank. Frankie Stamps, put him on the speakerphone. We are calling him right now.
Turn it up.
Yo, yo.
Frankie. What's up, Frankie? You are on with Bogman and I. Bogman can probably hear you on here, but you guys won't. You'll have a hard time talking between it. First off, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well.
We're doing good. We're recording a pod. I figure we just absolutely interrupt your day as I usually do with you. Here's a question. You guys do, when you do your ranks at CBS, do you do an overall list or do you just focus on positional?
So we do both. We do a top 300, which is we do it for Roto, for head-to-head points. And then we technically, when you update it in those, it'll update for AL and NL only. But yeah, we do it for both, positional and top 300.
Okay, Bogman has a question, but I'm going to have to relay it.
What's first, overall or positional?
Oh, that's a good question. So Bogman asks, what's first? Is it the overall or the positional?
That he works on.
That you work on.
So I will, just when I'm starting my process in the offseason, I will do positional first.
Yeah.
And then I figure out, I think Scott does it this way too, where I kind of do like a draft among myself. and I just kind of grab from each position and I figure out, okay, which order would I draft these guys in if I was just drafting by myself? And then that's how I do like, all right. My top 300.
We're dead on. So that wasn't even really the question, but the process is still the same. Here's the question. We are talking about our overall episode. And the question is, how useful do you think overall ranks are and what application do you use them? Because we just talked about a couple theories. We've had this long debating thing about so many of us move to positional ranks, but what is the application to overall? So A, do you find overall lists useful with a side AB of did you ever? And then the other is like, what application do you think overalls are for?
So I would say at some point in time, I probably thought top 300 lists were useful, but specifically in a roto or a categories league, I think that they are more harmful than they are helpful, because if you just draft off a top 300 list in a roto league, your team is going to be all kind of jacked up. I mean, you can't just like, all right, I'm going to draft, this is the best player available. That's who it says to draft. I mean, you just have to draft based on need. So even though, I might have this guy, he's at the top of my rankings. If he doesn't fit, if I need steals in that moment or if I need batting average, then I got to go down the list and find the next player that's going to provide me those categories. So specifically in roto or any type of head-to-head categories, I think top 300 lists are really useless.
Yeah.
Really, yes.
Useless. Yeah. So it's
points. And head-to-head points, I think they are helpful because really, you just want to grab the guys that are projected to score the most points.
Yeah, accumulated stats, yep.
Yeah, in a points league, I mean, it's really just, you're trying to figure out your positions. You don't really have to worry about categories. But yeah, I mean, you could really just focus on drafting off the top 300 list.
That's a really good point. So do you think it's fun? And sorry, by the way, I'm literally just called Frank out of nowhere and we're taking by the way, we're going to have you on for another 20 minutes. We're not. Don't worry, Frank. Do you find it funny then that we all, I don't want to say it's backbreaking, but we all fall over ourselves for 300s and overall lists, yet we don't really find it useful. Do you find it funny that we all do this? And like, I had this, like, well, first off, yeah, let me not go into that thing, but do you find that funny that we all do that? Yet I think the majority of us would be like, yeah, probably after the 40 or 50th overall, they become useless.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point too, right? Like, you could probably follow it early on in drafts, like the first three or four rounds. You might want to just take best available. Okay, you build up that core on your team, and then you kind of draft based on need after that, right? So I think that is a really good point. You can use it early on in drafts. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of funny, right? Like, maybe we're just creatures of habit. Like, this is something that I'm sure, people have done for the longest time, dating back to, I don't know, however long we've been doing fantasy, the 80s, 90s, I'm sure they were popular back then.
Back to Prohibition. Back when there was Prohibition, when we couldn't drink alcohol and we were doing it.
Yeah, that's when we were using top 300 lists. I think also the fact that we use them for other things, like, obviously, look, you're a big prospect guy, right? Like, I feel like top 300, 400, top 500 lists for prospects are, obviously much more important and much more useful. And I don't know, maybe we just kind of transfer that a little bit, like between the fantasy game and the prospect ranking game, whatever it might be. I just think it's like, it's been around for a while. We're creatures of habit. We've done it for so long, but for the most part, I don't know how useful those lists are.
Yeah. And I think it's funny that you say that because I agree with you wholeheartedly. One of the reasons why prospect lists are valuable is because they don't have in-game applications for now. It's theory. They're theory lists instead of like application of roster construction. I tell everybody, who the hell cares about having 7 shortstops in your minor league system? They're going to play other positions. Bogman's got one thing, but I want to ask you this real quick and then we will let you off. Thank you. Your check's in the mail, buddy. my idea is, because I think you're 100% right, creature of habit is the problem, that I think what I want to do is maybe implement an overall list, but then tier them. And to the prospect list side, I tell a lot of people get honed in. They're like, ooh, you got this guy at 75 and everybody else has him at 50. And I'd be like, well, listen, I think prospects, 1 through 10 are their tier. And then there's kind of this openness. But by the time you get to 75, the difference I personally believe between 75 and like 130 could be minuscule. But the numbers feel bigger, that maybe in overall lists, it's better to be, and maybe what, like, I think I want to take a stab at and transition to is making the list, but then tiering the value range of players. And then people can understand, oh, hey, look, you know, this tier four, there really isn't any second baseman of value that equate to blah, 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 blah. Maybe that would make them a little bit more useful if we tiered them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that could potentially be more useful, or maybe we just release top 50 lists. Right?
Yeah.
We just release the top 50 and then everything else is kind of positional, or maybe even ranking players by categories too. I mean, that's a completely different conversation, but like you can kind of tier players by category too. And again, I mean, this is like completely different in a points league, but I think it could be onto something. I think the point you made about the difference in the rankings looks bigger than it actually is, right? And Scott talks about this a lot with his Scott White, by the way, not Scott
Paul. Yeah.
The glob, right, within starting pitcher ranks, where, you know, once you get into the, you know, 35, 40 range at starting pitcher, the difference between, you know, SP 40 and SP 60 or SP 70, it might not be that big. And, you know, you might look at the Welsh's rankings. He might have a guy that I have ranked at SP 60 as his SP 40. And it's just like the further you go down the list, like, not that it doesn't matter, but you're just, it's more nuanced. Like, you're going to find differences between rankings the further you go down the list.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. I think it is. I think actually the further you go down the list, it becomes more useless. So you actually nailed it. Yeah. I think you were being nice about it, literally it gets more useless.
Let's go with the top 50 and then we'll use positional rankings after that.
I like it. What's going on fantasy baseball today this week?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
All right, all the preamble is dead and done. We kicked it into the dirt. We got CBS, we got Frank involved in it. So now let's start talking about it because, this is the weirdest of the lists of all of those things because the application is more like peeping. You're like a peeping Tom. You're window shopping instead of shopping. That's what it is. It's going out without your wallet and window shopping to understand what's coming for the future. And that's what this becomes about. But also there's a lot of conversation about like, holy God,
you just dropped
a
great metaphor, by the way. Like window shopping without your wallet is the best way to look at an overall list because you're not in a draft, right? You're just looking at how much is this guy going to cost me? How much is this guy going to cost me? You know,
won't matter if you get too far in. You may have really wanted this one guy, but you may have priced yourself out by getting that position covered, or you may really need to cover something else.
Exactly. So, yeah, I like that. I think you just made a cliche, window shopping without your wallet.
Okay. I did it with a bullet.
With a bullet. Meat on the bone for that for that cliche. There's a lot of room for that one to grow.
That's my favorite. All right, outside the top 100, I mean, we don't really necessarily care about a lot of things. We do have two things that we have a couple highs. And again, you're going to have weird stuff that's going to happen here. Number one, I will also say this, maybe the most work I want to do in the next week is on my overall list. So make sure you're over at In This League. You also will see some updates on Fantasy Pros. So if you just want direct my ranks, In This League is a great place, but you will see it be a part of Fantasy Pros as well. I have two players that I'm like really high on, Boggs. Michael King, which we talked about in the SP episode, and Junior Caminero. I think I'm not the highest in the world, but I am quite a bit higher when it comes to the rookies. As a matter of fact, just going through this, I moved Wyatt Langford down, but between the big three rookies, Caminero is 235 ECR average. I put him at 117. I'm the highest in the world on him. We have, where the hell did he go? We had
Michael King,
Jackson Chourio's another one, 162 ECR. I'm 112, 189 Wyatt Langford. I'm 114 and Jackson Holiday 238. I'm 149. I am near the tippy top on all of those because I think they will all produce and long-term have a very good shot at outperforming their ADP, which usually you don't have rookies outside the top 100. Every single one of them is outside ECR and ADP top 100. So I do, maybe unsurprisingly as a prospect person, have all of those guys higher inside my top 100 to 150.
So I don't think it's just a prospect guy thing in terms of the players that you're ranking high. I think a lot of people that have been ranking for a long time and are respected names in the industry, I think it's tough to know, like, how high should we be ranking these rookies? Because traditionally, they come up late in the season. Maybe they have a struggle. Maybe they're good right off the bat, and then they adjust back and they struggle. We don't have the longest track record of rookies coming up, especially good top-end, high-talent rookies, starting the year on the roster and working all the way through. Usually it's a, you know, because those guys were so good, we were waiting for that Super 2 deadline for so long. There wasn't an incentive to bring your rookie up and play him for these big league teams. So we all kind of rank them post 200, like take a risk on this guy. Maybe he has to sit on your bench for a while. That's not the case anymore. So we kind of have to look and see who is going to be on these teams all year. And for me, yeah, that's Jackson Holliday. I feel like Jackson Holliday is going to be on the Orioles for the entire season. He just got his spring training invite like yesterday, which is why I'm highest in the world on him at like 135. But I think that we're getting to a weird point with the rookies where, look, they're making these huge impacts. We have to rank them higher. I think you're spearheading that. I'm on the bus too, man. Like, we need to rank these guys higher. They're going to be up sooner. They're going to have more impact. They're going to impact your team more, especially in Roto, right? Where they're there all year and they're not dragging down an empty spot for you anymore. So they are, like, you bake that into putting them post 250, that they have to sit on your roster. And look, you have to take that into account a little bit, because if they come up and struggle, they will go back down and they are wasting a spot on your bench or even in your lineup or however your league works. So it's just different now. And I think it makes it more difficult, and you're going to have more variance in rankings on those rookies.
Yeah. I mean, I think we got to learn the lessons. You know, Julio was a prime example. I was such a douche about the Julio stuff. I was like, why are people drafting him so high? Why are they drafting him inside the top 200? There's zero conversation. Do we really think this new rookie, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he was, and it was like egg on my face, dummy. And so I learned from that, took that into last year, and S'd over everybody that was questioning where you were taking Corbin Carroll. More. I became Adam Driver. I was Kylo Ren. More. Just keep going up. That was me with Corbin Carroll. That doesn't belong to everybody. But what we have learned is learned our lesson about these talented players coming up with new compensation. Now teams have an even bigger idea of where that's going. And these uniquely are four prospects that all have high in return fantasy value. They are all good in different ways, and they all have a good shot of being up, if not on opening day, but earlier. And I think there is a legit chance that three of the four of these are up, worst case two of the four. So I am valuing them as close as I can to them being guaranteed. They are not, but I think all are up within a month. So I'm going to value them with even the possibility of losing a tiny bit of time, because these are immensely unique, awesome talents that incredibly are not inside the top 100. If they announced Jackson Holliday was going to, for sure, he's invited to big league camp, said he's going to play a bunch of second base, blah, blah, blah. If they announced for sure that he is going to be the starting second baseman or shortstop for the team, he will shoot up inside the top 100. Same thing with Churio, if it's official, same thing with Langford, and same thing with Caminero. So I am ranking to get ahead of it. Maybe I'll be wrong, but outside the top 100, I can stomach it. Do not take all of them. That is also why overall lists are weird,
right.
Because I'm not going to take all of them. You're putting on too much risk. Also, understanding and having a full understanding of some of these, you can take a Churio, and then if you understand what the player pool looks like later, you could justify, well, I can take Churio because I know in two rounds, I might actually be able to get Teoscar. Or, I mean, I know he's been flying up, or Cedric Mullins, or I'm just kind of scrolling down my list, or James Outman or TJ Friedel. Like, you can balance some of those out, or McCormick. You find the right balance, and that is the duality of the overall list and the good and the bad and how they can be used. But those were unique standouts for me outside the top 100. You have a player that you hate more than anybody on the planet, and you hope he falls into a sinkhole.
Yeah, well, not really, but also It's the position. Will Smith, I have ranked lower than anyone in Fantasy Pros right now on the ECR. And it's because of the position. And the funny thing I thought was like, I have Will Smith low. Welsh has got to be lowest in the world on one of these catchers. It's William Contreras for you. He's just not inside your top 150. So I had to go look. I'm like, I'm 100% positive Welsh has a catcher ranked lower than anybody else.
There's no chance I'm green on any of the top 10 catchers, right? Maybe no. Maybe Moreno if I'm a
you
stupid homer.
You might have been lowest on Adley Rutschman and maybe I didn't mark it. But yeah, like I mean, you are low on the catcher position. I am too. So I think Adley might be the only catcher that I have above ECR.
I also say this. So. I think the ADPs get all effed up because people use NFBC values and those are two catcher leagues. And it's just yes. Like, no, I don't. It doesn't right. mean I don't like, of course I like Adley. If I had to invest, if you're like, you got to take one of the first main guys, by the way, I'm not even remotely close to the lowest. Lowest was 100 overall, and I'm in the 60s on Adley. But if you were like, you have to, one of the top four catchers, you have to take them at their ADP, I'd be like, Adley, absolutely I would. But I don't think I need to. By the way, speaking of catchers, also, Gary Sanchez is signed with the Brewers. I don't think I need to in that situation. So I will wait for values, because I think the separation of the top to like the 10th catcher, maybe Adley is the biggest separation, 1 to 2. I just don't think there's huge differences across the board. I'd rather take values.
I want to circle back to someone having Adley at 100, right? Why? Yeah. Why? And this is the reason why, is because whoever that is said, I cannot rank a catcher inside over 100. So I'll put Adley at 100 because I play in all one catcher leagues. And I know the guys that I can get in the last round. Look, I got like Logan O'Hoppe in the last round in our last draft. Bo Naylor. Like last year, my pick was Sean Murphy and it hit everywhere. Right. So,
you know what I did,
one
by the way,
league, just wait
in that two catcher league. I wait in my second DC. I waited and waited and waited. And I took Campusano super late. And then I'm like, oh, man, I'm behind. You know what I did? Took Gary Sanchez, who nobody thought about, cared about or anything like that. I know he's technically be behind William Contreras, but they also might DH one of those.
Sure.
Two. William Contreras has played in the outfield and DH. They might put Gary Sanchez in one of those spots. Just saying you can find the value. This is not to be super negative. So I, as dumb as I'm being about it, I'm not that far off. I'm like four spots away from you. Just there's a balance of like ranking as you draft versus an overall valuation. And like, the Adley guy is probably under that, guys. Like, there's no chance I'm drafting a catcher inside my top 100, so why even bother messing around with it or anything like that? Okay, you're not wrong about that. I want to try to stay true to valuations, but to that point, it would take Adley to drop significantly from where he's going for me to really open up my eyes and be like, cool, I'm down with this. And that just usually doesn't happen. Any other guys post 100 you want to hit?
No, not really. I think we can get into it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
We still have 100 to 75. There's a 25 value range. I just want to throw out a couple names that I like. Apparently, I love Ketel Marte. I didn't realize that. I might adjust a tiny bit, but I am super high on Cattell. I love Tristan Casas, who I'm also green on. These are some greens. Tristan Casas, Cattell Marte, Jordan Walker, I have inside my top 100. He's an ECR 109. I've talked about Joe Musgrove ad nauseum, Seiya Suzuki, and Cole Reagans. I put all those guys in as positives, and a couple that I apparently down on. Nico Horner is probably the most prolific one for anybody. There's some catchers in there. A couple closers, because it falls into the same thing that I've been mentioning, and Alex Bregman. Those are kind of my lows and highs in that 100 to 75 to 100 range. Any that you want to pinpoint?
I mean, it's funny because when I look at this list, I feel like almost all of these guys, it's not a shock that I'm a little bit higher on them. Like, we talked about how much I love Lane Thomas in the outfield show, but I'm 91 on him. Someone has him ranked 64, right? So I'm not even close to highest in the world on Lane Thomas. Rysell, I've been taking, and I'm only four spots ahead on him. I thought I was going to be highest in the world on Spencer Steer. Once again, not even close. His ECR is 103. I have him 21 spots higher than that at 82. Somebody's got him at 53, and he's also way down at 165. Someone think Steer is going to get pushed out with all that talent in Cincinnati. So it is interesting, but when I look at this, the guys that are red, I'm not surprised. The guys that are green, I'm not surprised either. These are the guys that I've been drafting. So the only one that surprises me is, once again, Eflin, but I think it's because of that grouping of pitchers. I really like Eflin. I just can't wedge him into the guys above him, so I'm overall lower on him, which is disappointing to me, but if that's the case, I'm okay being low on Eflin.
You know what's really interesting about this tier conversation? I'm looking at, like, because we're going to go 75 up and just, like, give numericals and whatever.
It's already got your wheels turning.
Yeah, yep. Well, I'm just staring at this, and I'm looking at, like, right around 70 down to roughly, like, 95. That's kind of a tier. Like, me being a little bit lower on Ha-Sung Kim and Christian Yelich, but then, and you have Brian Reynolds, who I'm higher on, but I believe they belong in the same tiers as the Casas or the Castellanos or the Youngs or the Stotts and stuff like that. Like, I think those are same tiery type of players, to that point where, you know, trying to find it. I guess there's not really a good second baseman, but let's even say, where did he just go? Ha-Sung Kim. Someone's like, no, Ha-Sung Kim's better. But then in that same tier, if I've got Gleyber Torres and I've got Cattell Marte and I've got Bryson Stott, and I think they're all pretty close, why am I? So that might tell you I'm 20 spots lower than consensus on Ha-Sung Kim, because I think they belong in that tier. And I know I've got two or three rounds of value if I want to wait and I want to take Cattell, who's an ECR 99, or Bryson Stott, who's an ECR 108. I value them in the same tier. So that's where some of the overall understanding of the list of players and maybe tiering them might actually be more beneficial.
And it's, you know, it's also beneficial to look through there and go, all right, well, I like this guy a lot. Who is a guy lower that could hit those type of numbers that has the upside as well, but is going later? So if I do miss out on a Stott who I like, or a Cattell who I like, or whatever, what is my backup plan? And that'll also, when you do that, when you're looking through your position ranks and you go back to your overall and you see where these guys are ranked, it will make you move a guy up, because you go, well, there is no replacing Stott. There is no replacing Marte. They're not down here. And there's not even like an option of a guy that could come close. So I'm going to move those guys up. So just once again, this is more about the process than the actual list. What we're talking about, what we want to give you guys listening to this, is your process going in, how to use these. And I think it's beneficial for everybody to make a list themselves just to see. Yeah, well, just to see, like, am I overvaluing someone? Am I undervaluing someone? I think the process of actually making it is more value than, you know, staring at someone else.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, too, there's probably someone out there that's like, oh, you stupid idiot. So-and-so has been doing what I've been talking about. It's totally possible. I can definitely have ideas that are trying to reinvent the wheel. A funny thing, the other day in a meeting at Fantasy Pros,
Did you pitch them Risk Bucks?
I did not yet. Oh, thank but God. And by the way, I love the, they're so great, and the meetings are so great, all the people. But and I'm trying to, you know, contribute as much as possible, not be a loser. And we were talking about something, it had to do with football, and our dear friends Deepro Thor Nystrom, it's hard to not love these guys. And they had went out to the Senior Bowl and they got interviews, I think, and our boy Froton as well. I think Thor interviewed Spencer Rattler, and they interviewed some of the other guys, blah, blah, blah. and they're talking about the whatever content they're going to do. And I chime in. I'm like, so, you know, on Prospect One, this is kind of similar to the AFL. You know, I'll get interviews and I'll do solo ones, but then I'll like, you know, take a bunch of interviews and I'll make it into one big show. And people love that. And they're like, it's a great idea. When this call is done, that is actually what we're doing. And I'm like, okay. And I'm a stupid idiot. And then it was like, hey guys, have you ever heard of this concept of like points? You know, like I'm reinventing. So I acknowledge if you're going to be some hard head out there, that's like, by the way, this person, good for them. You know what? Great minds or I'm an idiot and they thought of it and the world opened it up. But it's just kind of open working out. So I just wanted to acknowledge that sitting out there. If someone has else thought of that, good on them. I don't know
it. Of course.
We tier
people have been tiering forever.
People have always tiered position stuff. I don't know if anyone has taken the task of implementing it to overall.
It's difficult, right? Because like you said, you saw 70 to 95 or whatever as a tier. Well, of course they're bigger when you're looking at every single position, right? I mean, if you want to get that really depends on how granular you want to get with your tiering. If you want to be like, well, these guys are only the top three, I have to take one of these guys. Like, what would your first tier be, right? Welsh, when you look at the tippy top,
Acuna.
What is the tier? By himself, right?
By himself.
Okay. What's the second tier? How many guys deep?
Oh, like how many players? Yeah. Let me just scroll up to my list real quick. It would probably be
three or four.
If I'm being honest, yeah, it would probably be four players, Witt, Rodriguez, Betts, and Carroll. And then it would start to open up. Then it would probably be like Tatis, Tucker.
But it's going to gradually get bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's where I'm kind of leading to.
One, it's like, 4, 7, 15, 25. Like that is how it's going to go. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
No, that's what it would look like. Because then it would be like the next would be like 7, and the next might be like 12 guys, and then we might jump up to like the next is like 20 guys, and then you'll start moving to like all the tiers would probably be some like collection of like 15 to 20 players.
Yeah. And what I've done in the past too, which is a little bit psycho, is I have tiered out all of my positions and then I've tried to put them together to do my overall and been like, well, this is a tier one first baseman. These are the tier one second baseman. These are the tier one third baseman. And then I go, well, that doesn't really work because there are some tiers that work really well in third, but these third basemen are not even close to the first baseman, or, you know, shortstop versus second base. There's a big difference. Outfield is super deep at the top, so you can't really do that either. So it is, you know, it's difficult to make an overall list, but the exercise is valuable. But the exercise of just looking and then drafting off of a list, not good. So there are many benefits to making an overall list. But, you know, using one as rhetoric is not.
Yeah. And I think we'll be done with the theory talk that we're going really heavy, heavy on theory, which is good. But
more
go
important
into the players
than the actual list, I think.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think we've hit a lot of points where we can go and how to use them. And hopefully it is helpful for them. All right. So let's jump into this bad boy. Then the 75 to 61 range, these are in groups of 15 on our ranks. We're only going to pick a couple guys. Don't need the numerics. If you want it. In thisleague.com, you can peruse through all the guys, and as well, plenty of stuff over on Fantasy Pros, where both of these I did 300s. So the players in here we've both got. I only have 5 players that I am above ECR in this range, compared to you, who has 11 in this range. Everybody else for me is under, one being dead even. That one is, by the way, Josh Lowe. I'm dead even there. I'll talk real quick because you got a lot of positives in here. The one that stands out is Aaron Nola. You had mentioned the starting pitcher episode. I'm just the hater. I'm the hater of haters. I've created such a big separation. I might totally eat my words. It's really about a disinterest. And as I said before, there is a combo thing here. I'm more excited about the pitchers that I have above. Bobby Miller, green. Kodai Senga, green. Logan Wilbert, green. That means I'm higher than... And the hitters, you know, you talked about these weird hitting spots. There are hitters in the general range where it's like, I don't know, Brian Reynolds might do better for me than what Nola can fall apart. So I don't want to reinvent that whole conversation, but I am like the world's biggest hater on Aaron Nola. I have him in this range. Let's get a guy from you in this 75 to 61 range that jumps up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm higher than consensus on Alex Bregman, which is a little bit of a surprise to me. I I don't love Alex Bregman and what he does, but I love his spot and I love the team context around him. A 90 RBI guy, 100 run guy, 25 bombs last year, you know, 23 the year before, 20-ish. Let's go with that. He's not getting back to 41 in 2019. And, you know, a 274 career average, hit 262 last year. All projections have him between 267 and 264. I just think he's a solid buy. And I think people ignore him because he's not sexy. He's not getting you stolen bases. He's not hitting you a ton of homers. I just think there's value on Bregman. And short guys got to stick together. So let's go, Bregman.
I'm trying to focus. I guess I'll do this. I'll give you the players that I'm higher in than consensus on this. We're not looking to give do numbers and stuff like this. But here are the five players. Joe Ryan, Brian Reynolds, Gleyber Torres, Bobby Miller, and Emmanuel Clase. Those are the five players in this general range. So it's a lot of this becomes about like the next rounds. I'll probably have a lot more green because I'm pushing down players that it might even, again, it's not so much about rank and that's why the tiers might be is a better conversation. It's just about the disinterest of some of the values of some of those players. I am noticing I have Logan Webb a little bit lower than I probably should. So maybe I'll make adjustment. Maybe I didn't actually make adjustment based on my individual ranks, but you know, of those guys, I have glowingly talked about Bobby Miller and Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres in for just another big offensive season, totally underrated. I talked about Joe Ryan on Fantasy Pros. Clase is just a very interesting one, too. He's become a little bit more of a primary closer target because I believe wherever he were to be traded, he's going to be the closer, and he's still going to pick up a bunch of saves in what is not the best division. And he has fallen. He fell to as the seventh closer in a draft champions draft that I did. I was like, I need to get a closer. And I'm thinking, oh, I might have to get Rysel. Nope. Rysel went ahead of him. I got Emmanuel Clase, a little bit of an underperforming season, but if I can get him there, that's a good spot because this round I have identified as a round that I don't love. And that, I guess that, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's like the fifth round. I'm not in love with the fifth, sixth round. So if you can get Clase there, that's probably a big target of me.
And it's funny, I'm kind of just noting this right now, is that just my value on starting pitchers overall is a little depressed. So like I'm high on guys in this round, and there are a couple starters in here, like Snell, Logan Gilbert, Yuri. Most of it is pitchers, and the guys I'm low on just below this, Senga, Arenado is in there, but like Grayson, Eflin, Joe Ryan, Johan Durant, right? So it is, I think my overall list depresses pitching value just a little bit is something that I didn't really notice while I was putting this together.
Also, Framber, Nico, Edwin Diaz, and Max Fried, you are lower than consensus. And I will say,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's a Tatis for him, but I could see myself moving Ohtani to 7 and just saying, you know what, I'm not going to let the util hold me back. But it does take you away from taking Marcell Ozuna or, you know, one of those guys if you want to do that. But fun conversation. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Don't need to hear all the things you think. Maybe you didn't enjoy all the color commentary of it. But, you know, what do you think about overalls? Do you use them? Do you not use them? Do you like the tier idea? Let us know. But, you know, overalls exist. They've existed forever. And I don't know if our questioning of it will ever change the old school industry of it. But you guys can check it out over at InThisLeague.com for all the updates, monthly updates. And you can find everything over at Fantasy Pros. Go and check them out. FantasyPros.com, MLB rank / MLB rankings. The draft kit is out. FantasyPros.com/MLB draft kit. / draft kit. I'm in it. I got multiple things in it. And I'm going to be putting some premium content over at Fantasy Pros as well. I got a premium article coming up next week, but there's some prospect stuff, some dynasty stuff. Just go and support. When you support them, you're supporting me. There's actually a lot of stuff there that you can do. That's like the free support. Can't ask everybody to, hey, sign up for Patreon and do this. And then some people can, some people can't. Any support is great. You simply following us on Twitter or subscribing to the podcast is a great, so know that we are appreciative of that. But they've got a lot of great free content that you can slip my name in or just go and support it. More clicks with me being there acquaintance. Helps. So just letting you know for those things. But yeah, check us out InThisLeague.com on the Patreon. Sign up today. Have access. Have some fun. You also, just a little shout out to our boys over at Underdog, promo code ITL. Get a bonus on your deposit and start drafting today on Underdog. I have literally no idea what we're doing next week. So don't worry about it. Just come back. We give you five episodes. You're probably way behind and you're catching up. Two more.
There's
going to
be a mock draft next week. We know that.
There's for sure a mock draft. Typically, I will say what we've done in the past is we did two mock drafts. We did a mock draft week following Hell Week. But I think we have some plans. Just tune in. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you are. And we'll be back for multiple episodes next week right here on ITL. We love you all. We survived it. You survived it. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next time right here on ITL.
Peace.